Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to the Astrology Hub podcast. I am so thrilled to be here with all of you for another one in our series of the 2022 prep series. So this is our series that's dedicated to getting you ready for the astrology of 2022. And it's allowing us to have a deep dive with all of the astrologers that will be a part of our 2022 forecast panel happening December 8th and 9th. That event is free. You're all invited. We'd love to have you. If you're interested in joining, you'll be hearing from astrologers like Achyuta Bhava, including Achyuta Bhava, and then 11 other astrologers. You can register for that at astrologyhub.com/2022forecast. All right. And so today we have a very special guest. Anytime I've had the opportunity to connect with Achyuta Bhava, it has been one of those memorable moments. And I will never forget, actually, connecting with him on the 2020 prep series that we did in 2019. It was the fall of 2019. And I think you might have been one of the first astrologers, Achyuta, that said a few things that just like hit me somewhere so deep when you talked about the level of change that we would be experiencing in 2020. And you laid it out, and it was in such a way that I went, oh my God, this is even bigger than I ever imagined that it could be. So your voice would be ringing through in my head throughout 2020. And then one of the things you said that at the end of that year, we would have a better sense for why it all needed to happen. And I think we're kind of still in that energy now, like figuring out why all this is happening. But I'm just really excited to hear what you have to say about 2022. And we're going to be exploring this theme of incremental awakenings and the return of imagination. Very exciting. So let's start with the astrology of 2022. First of all, welcome.
No, thank you for having me. I'm glad to be back.
Yes, we're so happy to have you here. And for those of you who don't know what you do, there's amazing things that he does. He has an incredible podcast that you can check out. He was also on our podcast episode 212, which is the do's and don'ts of looking at your child's chart. And this was part of our Seeds of Light series. So if you look at episode 212, the do's and don'ts of looking at your child's chart, you'll get to know Achyuta Bhava a little bit better. But let's look ahead. Let's start talking about 2022 and what you have your eye on.
Yeah, for sure. Well, it's first of all, I just want to say that I had no idea exactly what 2020 was going to hold either. Oh my gosh, right? I mean, I was, you know, because we started off with Saturn Pluto, and then by the end we had the Saturn Jupiter conjunction, and it seemed like, you know, by the end we should be looking kind of at a new era. We had COVID hit, and then the election at the end, and there was this kind of turning of the tide. But then we roll into 2021, and it's been the story of Saturn Uranus.
Right.
And I use this phrase incremental awakenings to talk about 2022 because there's a book that I love. It's one of my beloved desk references called The Archetypal Cosmos. And it's by a student of Richard Tarnas's out at the California Institute of Integral Studies. His name is Ren Butler. And he wrote this book that's like, it's kind of like a cookbook, but it's more than that in terms of giving you all different kinds of archetypal combinations of planets. And I'll often turn to it to gain some inspiration when I'm writing up my lesson for my podcast, you know? And a phrase that he used in that book to describe Saturn Uranus was incremental awakenings. Mm. Because I think I'm following his logic, there's a way in which Uranus pushes us forward into the future and Saturn can pull us back. And or sometimes just prohibit that forward movement or check it or ground it or whatever. It can prohibit it, or it can make it a little bit more realistic. But it's this feeling that the awakening that you long for, or the breakthrough that you're seeking, whether it's in consciousness or itself or in some area of your life, is not going to happen all at once. It's going to happen through that kind of Saturnine, no pain, no gain. You know, it's going to be kind of like, it's going to be that hard, slow step-by-step process. And sometimes the dismantling of a structure is slow before the building of the next structure happens, but even the building of the next structure will be slow. And it's a matter of incremental awakenings to me is a phrase that gets at the feeling that, look, hope isn't gone. You know, you can see progress being made. You can see change happening, but you know, you're really in the thick of it. And so there's nothing you can do but focus on the very next thing in front of you. And it makes me think of like the Olympics, you know, those athletes who are like world class and they say, well, how did you get here? And they're like, one day at a time, one rep at a time, one lap of the pool at a time or whatever. And it sounds so cliched, but the most amazing breakthroughs, if you think about them, whether they are, you know, I always use, think of the example of a cliff falling off into the ocean. And it's like, it happens all at once. And it might look like the tower card in the tarot, like a lightning bolt of change that happens all at once. But usually those changes occur because of incremental, slow shiftings of plates deep below the surface. And Saturn just makes us a little bit more acutely aware of the slowness of the change, even though there's also these moments of really rapid development or evolution that are occurring with Uranus. So I think that we're going to feel 2022 to me was that push and pull. A lot of it was that push and pull.
You mean 2021?
Oh, 2021. Yeah. Excuse me. Yeah, 2021. Because I think, for example, of when I was here in the summer in Minnesota, which is now apparently like the highest COVID numbers or something like that in the U.S. And in Minnesota, there were hardly any COVID cases in June. There was like none. And I went to a baseball game, you know, and like people were out and I was like, oh, we've turned the corner. And then Saturn Uranus comes back and the numbers start going up again. And I was like, okay, this is Saturn Uranus. You know, it's the opening followed by the restriction. And it kind of goes back and forth. And of course, I think more than collectively, people have been experiencing that personally too, in different areas of life, the awakening, the opening, the closing, the two steps forward, one step back feeling.
Yeah.
I think that we are going to be experiencing that quality of incremental awakening even more acutely in 2022, even though the Saturn Uranus exact squares are over after this December of 2021, 2022 builds toward one final square. It's not perfect, but they land on the same degree. And I think it's like October. It's that the very, toward the very, very end of 2022. And the reason that I feel like 2022, we're going to experience it more acutely is because of the juxtaposition with the other major transit of the year, which is Jupiter-Neptune. So Jupiter in Pisces will conjoin Neptune in Pisces. And right around the same time, Venus exalted in Pisces will fly through the sign of the fish, and Mars will enter Pisces and hit Neptune and Jupiter. And then Jupiter goes into Aries closely after. And to me, that combination, I wrote a little blurb for the Mountain Astrologer on this recently, just like a 200-word thing that they had a bunch of astrologers do. What do you think Jupiter-Neptune's going to be about? Mm-hmm. And I quoted William Blake, who said he made this, he coined this phrase. He said, Jesus, the imagination. And he talked a lot about how he saw the human imagination, whether it was religious or cultural or spiritual or artistic, that the imagination of human beings is what saves us and what redeems us from our darkest hours. It's, we dream of something new. When it's not just, we dream of a better society. It's not like, let's fix the government. That's part of it. But it's always like, let's come up with new modalities of art and culture. Let's come up with things that somehow capture the spirit of the times and elevate all of us by somehow summarizing in music or, you know, displays of culture all over the place that somehow capture our spirit and help us rise above things that we're stuck in. And he saw the artistic imagination, whether it's a poet or whatever, as a salvation feature, like Jesus in culture. He was being creative about this idea. And he was born with a Jupiter-Neptune configuration.
Mm.
I think it was a trine, like a really nice trine that he had between them. But when I think of Jupiter and Neptune on this, in the sign of the fish, the sign that's on the cusp of zodiacal spring, and then Jupiter moving into the sign of the ram, spring, you know, springtime, getting out of back-to-back years of Jupiter being in Saturn signs, I think of at least a pretty good blast during the springtime of imaginative, romantic, sort of dreamy, uplifting, inspiring energy. And that really has like, that steals the show the first half of 2022 in my big macrocosmic picture of the year. But then we hit the fall and it's Saturn Uranus again. And so to me, it's like, I look at it in a sense, and I think breakthroughs, hope, imagination, the feeling of something redeeming and faith being restored somehow, and the upsurge of hope that feels like it could be present in the spring. But then the same kind of lesson that at least for the rest of the year, we're still dealing with that like it's going to happen incrementally. So I think the message that I keep coming to as I'm looking ahead is like, it's going to feel good to have that inspiration in the spring. And then I have to remember patience, because there's going to be a pullback again in the fall. And that pullback is something that I can't allow to defeat whatever vision or inspiration started coming through. It's kind of like, I think sometimes I talk to women in my practice who are just found out that they're pregnant, and there's like a ton of joy and excitement, you know, and I think about my wife when she got pregnant with our two kids and stuff. And then you hit this stretch where it's like some women, not all women, some women get really sick for like 10 weeks or something, you know, it's just like miserable. And then, you know, maybe there's after that, then you kind of get into a groove with it or whatever. And then again, toward the end, it's like, man, I just want to get this baby out, you know? And so I think about the birthing process, the joy, but then the contractions, you know, and that just that process as a model. And in 2022, it's a bit like the burst of enthusiasm and excitement, you could easily let go of it or think, well, this isn't going to work out, or, you know, don't let go of it too quickly. In other words, be really, really patient, I think, is the message I keep coming back to. Because if we can just realize that, you know, dreams, most things that are worthy of pursuing, whether it's our spiritual life or something we're learning or studying or a craft we're trying to learn or a relationship we're trying to develop, that they go through periods where enthusiasm, we ride a wave of it, and then we have to do this really hard work and it contracts backward. But that work isn't necessarily taking you backward, it's just part of the process. So that's kind of what I'm focusing on for 2022, knowing that Saturn Uranus is going to be capping the end of the year.
So good. So basically, we're going to catch new visions, we're going to have dreams open, we're going to have, I love this return of the imagination, and totally agree with you how important imagination is, and how much in so many ways we've allowed ourselves to be robbed of our imagination. I mean, if you think about the word television, it's telling you a vision, television, instead of you having your own visions and your own imagination. So in so many ways, we've had that stripped away. So it's very exciting to hear that we'll have, you know, a wellspring of inspiration. And yeah. Then to be reminded that when things kind of tighten up or restrict again, that doesn't mean it's over. That doesn't mean it's not going to happen. There's probably, would you agree that there's some refinement that needs to happen? There's some structure that needs to be built around it. There's something else that needs to happen for it to actually have longevity.
Yeah, I think of it totally. I think of it a bit like, you know, my background before I got into astrology was I did a Master of Fine Arts in Creative Writing. And we had creative writing workshops, and we talked a lot about the process of writing a book. And when I wrote my first book, I hope to write more at some point. Kids, it's a little speaking of the process and like not losing the vision.
Yeah.
And I think about this kind of thing, like with my book, the initial draft and inspiration and idea, if I wouldn't have had that burst and that vision, I wouldn't have written a book.
Right.
But my book looked nothing like the original inspired vision of what it would be. And I think that we need to realize that that's how most of creativity, co-creation in this universe works. It's like the universe gives us a vision and we think that the vision is the thing, but it's just a shot in the arm to get the process started, you know?
Yeah.
And in the fall, I feel like that's, for some people, that could get them, especially because of how easily deflated sometimes the Pisces energy can get. It's like it can ride the highs and really, you know, get disappointed if it doesn't reach the ideal or that Neptunian state that's sometimes impossible to perfectly realize. So we need to be really careful and patient with some kind of refining or revision or, you know, reshaping or restructuring that's going to happen in the fall. And I think that that's, you know, it's like, don't let it be a killjoy. Let it be part of the process.
I love that. So can you explain something to us? You're saying that the Saturn Uranus square that happens again in October is not exact, but it's at the same degrees. Can you explain what you mean by that?
Right. So like for planets to perfect an aspect, they have to not only be at the same degree, but they have to get to the same minute of the same degree. Oh, so like 18, 30. Precise. And yeah. Okay. So like if two planets hit the same degree, And then they get down and they not only they same degree, but they cross the same minute of the same degree. That means their bodies actually contact one another. The rays of their bodies actually make contact, at least from the ancient perspective of how aspects work. So they're going to get down to, I think it's about 18 or maybe it's like late 17 or something like that, but they come within less than 1 degree of a perfect square again, but it's not quite perfect. And you know, you could pontificate about that. Like, what does that mean? What, you know, does that, what it means to me is that there's just one last expression of this energy that's there. It's, I don't think it's as intense, as acute as when the two planets actually cross paths. But they're getting close to doing it again, close enough that we're going to get a little feeling of that contractive energy one more time, where it's like there's an awakening, but it's happening in that incremental Saturnine way. Mm.
So Rick Levine last year was saying the Saturn-Uranus squares were like the drumbeat of last year. I mean, we're still in 2021, that it's been like the drumbeat, like the background music to every single thing that it's happened.
Right.
What is that in 2022? Would you say it's still Saturn-Uranus square, or would you say it's this Jupiter-Neptune-Pisces thing?
To me, because this year features the major like outer planetary conjunction of the year is really Jupiter-Neptune. Like nothing else is perfecting like that one. So to me, it's kind of like, if you think of the planetary transits, like different time, like different rhythms, like let's use Rick Levine's analogy. Okay. The idea is that we're transitioning, right? We're in a year that's like transitioning into a new theme, a new beat, a new rhythm is trying to establish itself. But toward the end of the year, it's kind of like when a DJ is like fading into a new song, but the beat of the same song comes over it a little bit loudly a few times before the new one comes in. Uh-huh. That's the kind of year I think we're in. And I think it's kind of like Neptune, Jupiter is really establishing itself, Jupiter into Aries. So it's very spring-like. It's very youthful. It's very idealistic. It's action-oriented. It's driven by ideals and passion and let's do new things. And it has that kind of feeling to it. But toward the end of the year, even though it's like that's coming in strong, you're going to get a little of the reverb and echoes of the previous drum beat in there. And that's the thing that I don't think like at the end of the year, Jupiter's back in Pisces, you know, retrograding back in for a little bit. And then it comes back into Aries. So it's like, it's a little bit of reverb of Saturn in Uranus at the very end of the year. And I think that you can't leave that out of the forecast for 2022, because it's like, oh, we're on this big new, you know, we're turning the page. We're going to this youthful spring thing. It's like, but there's this reprise a little bit toward the end of the year of that Saturn Uranus. And everyone should just know that that's there so that it doesn't trip you up or spin you out too bad.
What would be another shadow aspect of this Jupiter, Neptune, and Pisces energy? So we have like the youthful spring and the imagination and all those really great things. Are there anything that we should watch for?
Well, whenever you have Saturn, Uranus combined, right, you have the potential for not only like the incremental awakenings to me is like the most positive one. So that's why I go for it to be encouraging, because I think we all like need that, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, to me, the potential is also like, if you think about the American Revolution, the French Revolution, they are held up in classrooms all around the world as some of the greatest examples of societal revolutions that are at heart about more rights for people, greater, you know, they're revolutions in terms of giving more rights to individuals and group, you know, more equality. And they're not perfect, right? But they're like big steps forward in terms of how governments worked in the history of humankind. But they're very bloody. Right? They're like just heads rolling in the street in the French Revolution. You say, seen Les Mis, you know, it's like, it's just super violent. And and the revolutionaries often become the new tyrants as well.
Right.
And so anything that is countercultural at first can become really like anything that's revolutionary has the potential of becoming self-righteous or violent. And in any direction, not just, I mean, when I say revolutionary, there's revolutionary factions and groups all over the place in the world, you know? So what I think the shadow side of Saturn Uranus tends to be is the zeal and fervor and kind of dogmatic rigidity of revolution that can come forward. So for example, in the United States, you see so much divisiveness by extremes on the right and the left. And I don't say that to, you know, attack any one group or anything. It's just, you see extreme polarization, radical polarization on the left and the right. And that kind of fervor that you feel, you know, like this is right. This is the revolution. It's either some kind of radical movement toward the liberal side or radical movement toward the conservative side. But either way, it's the tendency to hold it almost violently. Mm-hmm. And that's Saturn adding its sternness and its rigidity to Uranus, you could say, or it's Uranus insisting that the conservative values be done with a kind of rebellious, I don't care what you think attitude, you know? And so if you think about that as kind of the dark side of Saturn Uranus, then when you put that next to Jupiter hitting Neptune, going into Pisces, you're taking the potential, you're basically saying that the potential for visions or inspiration, it's like, it could be a little bit like a Pentecostal church service, right? The Holy Spirit's coming through and people are feeling really inspired. But if that feeds into the extremism, then that would be the dark side of it, where you're basically, it's like, well, you know, Jupiter's been in Saturn ruled signs for the past couple of years, and it's been very divisive. And there's been, I mean, in ancient astrology, Saturn rules the aspect of the opposition. It's Jupiter in Saturn signs expresses itself in terms of polarization. But now just imagine that the same polarization is still in the air with Saturn Uranus, but now you're adding gas to the fire by putting Jupiter in Aries, right? Or Jupiter feeding Jupiter a whole bunch of Neptunian idealism. So that would, to me, would be the dark side of it, where you could see religious extremism or political extremism kind of flaring up really dramatically. But I do think that it'll be tempered, because Jupiter is very more benefic in traditional astrology in Pisces because it's its home sign. It's also a feminine sign, and it's the exaltation of Venus. And Jupiter and Pisces, its sensibilities are really a lot more sensual and feminine and romantic and like soft. So I think that there's going to be more of an emphasis on like compassion, unity. I think the qualities are a lot more promising than they are heavy.
What else do you have your eye on in 2022? Is there anything else you want to mention about the astrology of the year?
The funny thing is, it's nice for the first time in a couple of years to be like, it's tame compared to those transits. Like there's not like a ton of like, you know, like last year where there was just like loads of stuff going on, or right, 2020. So I do feel like it's lighter generally speaking. I mean, you still got lots of, you know, you've got a Mars retrograde at the end of the year in Gemini. That could be really interesting. I think that Mars retrograde in Gemini can bring up a lot when it comes to the way that our discourse is happening. Mars, you know, there's a lot of like social media these days for me is like, I have to be really careful, because I notice that a lot of it is meant to trigger combat in right, like mental combat between people. So I'm very careful of how much of it I expose myself to. But I think Mars retrograde, for example, I wouldn't be surprised if some of the social media platforms became, if the conversation and the awareness about divisiveness and how we handle hatefulness in communication and speech became a real thing during the fall, for example, among other possibilities. But I do have my eye on that Mars retrograde as an interesting theme as well.
Okay. One more question on the 2022 astrology. How do you see the Pluto return for United States playing into this?
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of like, I'm not a huge mundane astrologer. So
okay.
I would say that I tend to tune into what people like Rick Tarnas have to say about that. And, you know, kind of, I listen more than I speak when it comes to like how things are going to unfold in like the nations and stuff like that. Only because I'm not a great student of history these days. I think that's honestly because I hit some kind of media overload where I just like can't watch the news and I, but that's just me. So right. I would say though, I mean, like to me, like if you look at the news and how divided everyone is and we're dealing with a lot of violence. Like I had one of my clients, their kid goes to the school in Michigan where the shooting happened just yesterday or whatever it was. And so I think, you know, we're coming into a space where the you know, conversation about what brings us together is probably, hopefully that emerges for like the phoenix that comes from the ashes of a Pluto transit.
Yeah.
Hopefully we start going, okay, we have serious differences. Okay, America has a brutal history. What's good about us? What's good about, what do we share? What can bring us together? How can I sit at the same table with Republicans if I'm a Democrat, you know, and just like get along, like love each other, hear each other, listen, disagree with less vitriol or violence. Or I think the hope for me would be that with some of this uplifting Piscean energy that, you know, maybe there's even a little bit through the US's Pluto return of, we get to a point where it's like, let's not fight each other, you know? Especially interesting to think that in 2025, Saturn and Neptune are going to enter Aries, which is where Neptune was when the Civil War occurred, right? So it's like, are we going to head down that path? You know, are we going closer to hating or killing our neighbors? You know, is that what, you know, I think I'm not like, I grew up in the Christian church. I was a preacher's kid. And I think America unconsciously has a lot of that Christian energy. One of the greatest Christian values, even if you're not a believer in the whole Christian vision, is love thy neighbor. It's a simple one, you know? And it's like, it, maybe that can come up from our unconscious, our collective Christian consciousness, as well as elements of colonialism and all of the other things that we've done that have been so terrible. Maybe elements of our community past, where we created a country where people from everywhere came and found a new place. Maybe, you know, there can be some sense of how we share things. The other night we were listening to Carlos Nakai. He's this like Native American flute player. My daughter and I were listening, and she said, where does this music come from? I said, well, the first people who lived here before, you know, people in the United States lived here, they played this kind of music. And she said, well, where did they go? And I was like, oh, this is a huge conversation, you know? And I was like, well, you know, some people were really greedy and took their land and stole it from them. And sometimes they even killed them. And she scratched her head. And I thought she was really thinking about something. And she looked at me and she goes, but it's so big. The earth is so big and there's so much space. Why doesn't everyone just share it?
Wow.
You know, yeah. And it was like, here's a 5-year-old, you know, yeah. But really like that's at the heart. Like when I, in the Christian church, when I was a little boy in Sunday school, simple Christian values that are at the core of our culture could still come through to help us like share, you know, like, how can you love your neighbor? How can you give more than you take? How can the least among us be elevated to just as important as those that have a lot? I think that those things are universal spiritual values that I do believe in my heart, my hopeful heart, that our country here in the West, that we have at our core somewhere. And that if things get bad enough, that maybe those things will rise up a little bit.
Oh, I love that. I haven't heard the perspective on Pluto, like dredging up things from our past, be so hopeful. I mean, usually we're talking about dredging up the dark things, which clearly we've been doing. And clearly we probably have a lot more to do.
Yeah, exactly.
But I like that it doesn't always, it reminds me of actually what Christopher Renstrom said in 2019, which was Pluto's going to tear up the floorboards of the house. And we're going to see, is there rot or is there buried treasure? And it's like, maybe there's some of both. And maybe we can actually, you know, take the rot out, take the buried treasure and, you know, build something new.
Yeah. I mean, that's my hope is, and I've heard so many people say, looking at what's wrong systematically at our roots. And I have am not in any disagreement with a lot of what's been said about that. It's to me, it's also like, well, what can be salvaged that's at our roots? Because to me, it's a bit like the process of having to go through, I don't know, in my own life, in my spiritual life, you know, when there's periods of like the need to purge and cleanse myself of negative patterns, all of my teachers have always encouraged me to do that with a lot of forgiveness and grace, you know, like pull out the rot, but like love yourself while you do it. Cause there's good stuff in there too. And I think we need to make sure we take that perspective that there's a lot of grace and mercy and forgiveness and in how we do things.
So good. Okay. You are going to be one of our inner circle astrologers in 2022, which we are thrilled about. And we've been wanting to have you on that roster for a long time. So we're very excited about that.
Thanks.
Can you tell us a little bit about the mastery class that you're going to be teaching?
There's a class that I know that I'm teaching as a part of the series in 2022 for my lunar month that has to do with approaching a birth chart and kind of revisioning how we look at the sun, moon, and rising sign, maybe the simplest, most standard approach to reading birth charts, but doing that with a new eye for how we read those symbols. And I'm not saying it's anything that's to me, it's like simple things, just simple little shifts in how you read symbols that you read every day that can make the biggest difference. So I have got some really cool stuff planned for that. Also, I think I'm also going to be talking a lot about this idea of incremental awakenings and the return of imagination. I mean, that's going to be kind of a big part of the way that I teach as a part of the program in 2022. Like what we're talking about today is something that I want to unpack by also telling stories about, you know, here's some people that have gone through these transits or were born with these transits, and look at how their lives demonstrate this push-pull dynamic and how we can learn from that as well.
Okay. What would you say to everybody listening right now, as we're in December of 2021, looking into 2022, I'm sure people are starting to think about the year ahead. What can they do to prepare, and or is there a practice that you would recommend for people as they're getting ready for the energy of next year?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, the funny thing that comes to my mind is like, well, just let's all survive December, because we've got our eclipse this weekend. We've got Saturn Uranus again. We've got a Venus retrograde with Pluto in the mix, and we've got Jupiter changing signs all in one month. So this is like really a grand finale of 2021. And I feel like this month, like, it's a really good time. We don't wait for your New Year's resolution. I would say just start right now in terms of having a daily, I just call it a daily spiritual practice, but it could be anything. And practice might sound like too heavy of a word. It's just taking intentional time every day to turn inward and listen. A lot of the time, you know, our heart, I feel like our heart is so supportive. It just beats and beats. And it's like, what do you want to do? I'm just here beating and supporting you, you know? And really that's like our soul. It's just, I'm here for you. What are you doing? Where are we going? I'm going with, and I'm going to support you and love you the whole way. And it's actually, that's actually who we are. And so I feel like if we, most of the time, our head stuff and our busy life is so dominant that we don't sit down and be like, well, what do you need? You know, heart of my heart, soul of my soul, what do you need? How are you feeling? What do you have to say to me? Because most of the time the heart supports unless we sit down and let it speak, and then it expresses its needs, and then we can support it. And we start having a reciprocal relationship with the soul or the self that dwells within. Man, it just gets easier to navigate things, whether it's our relationships or our jobs or the transits. On my YouTube channel, we have this thing that I do. I use the hashtag grabbed. The planets in Indian astrology were called grahas or grabbers. And the idea, they also meant to grasp. So if we think about the planets moving through our lives every day, and if we're stuck in the hamster wheel of our mind all the time and just go endlessly doing stuff, then the planets are basically moving us around like puppets. We're, you know, because we're unconsciously just going through all of this stuff. And none of the results of that way of living are ever very satisfying because they're very fleeting. But if we do what ancient astrologers told us to do, which was to look at the planets as reflections of the divine and allow them to move us through life, like life becomes like a moving meditation or like a prayerfulness that we move through life with when we're reflecting upon these archetypes or gods, like in our midst. It's almost impossible to do that with astrology and to recognize it and to interact and to hear what the heart wants and needs as the transits are playing out. Unless we have some time. Is it a walk in nature? Is it journaling? Is it, you know, prayer, meditation? Whatever it is, it's a space where you can say, let me process everything that's been happening. Let me feel what I actually feel. And let me also ask my heart, how are you doing? What do you need? You know, it's that self-care work. And if we put it in every day, it turns out that that is our true wealth. That's our true self. And it's our true wealth and happiness. And there's nothing astrologically that actually isn't completely amazing and educational and inspiring that we go through if we have that intact every day. So to me, it's like, that's another thing that I'll be talking a lot about in my, you know, in my month, giving people advice about how to deal with transits, is like, create a practice like this. And here are some tips, you know?
I love that so much. I actually did that right before we went on our today. I had this like, God, I don't even know how I feel. I feel I'm like so disconnected from my body right now. And so I just went out on my porch and like stretched for 10 minutes and looked at the clouds. And it was this instant like, okay, you're here. And this is how you're feeling. And these are like loose ends that you might want to tie up. And, you know, those things that are just like in the background that we we put on the shelf until we have those moments. And yeah, it's super powerful. And to do that every single day. So you're saying basically that for December, this would be the most important thing for us to do. And it doesn't have to be elaborate, right? I mean, it can just be super simple.
It's amazing. Like, if you think about a plant, it needs watering once a week or something like that. And it just needs a good watering, right? And I think the plant of our heart is like, it rewards us exponentially. It's like, it's like if you put in 10 minutes, it gives you 10 hours worth of joy. If you put in 20 minutes, it gives you 20 hours worth of joy. So it's always, it's always giving back more than we put in. That's the brilliance of the heart, you know, but there's no penalties. There's no grudges. If we don't spend time with it, there's only giving. And so it's just, we receive back exponentially the degree to which we put in, and any amount will do to get started.
Oh my gosh. So good. So many amazing things that you've said today that I know I will take with me into 2022. That what you said about the music transitioning as the DJ's going from like one song to the other song, and how that 2022 is basically like that. The reminder for us to really embrace the visions and the imagination and the inspiration that comes in. It sounds like artists might have a great year.
Like I think so.
Yeah,
I do. And I have to credit like my friend, Sean Nygaard, who's an astrologer that came and spoke to my students recently. Mm-hmm. And he did a talk on Pluto into Aquarius 2023. Mm. And he talked about, you know, just so much Saturn energy in the air. And it's not that Saturn like lacks imagination. It's that Saturn's imagination tends to come in such wintry ways. And it's like the imagination is cloaked in realism. Right.
Right.
Everything's imaginal. Everything is divine and archetypal. And so, but we can get locked into thinking that, you know, the imagination is only working in terms of taking care of the nuts and bolts, doing realistic things, dealing with facts, like making hard decisions, doing the mature thing. And it's true, but like when we get these, I think when we get these Neptunian energies, Jupiter and Aries energies, stuff like that, we're going to remember that there's also, there's this way in which so much in life moves forward because of leaps that we take out of realism. We just go way beyond the real or the practicalities of Saturn. We just jump over them and go like, that was fun, but I don't have to do that anymore. So I'm going to jump forward into possibility or something like that. And I just think we're going to get a shot in the arm of that in the spring.
Oh, so good. All right. Very much looking forward to having you as an inner circle astrologer. Really looking forward to having you on the panel next week, December 8th and 9th. That event is totally free. Achyuta Bhava will be there with 11 other amazing astrologers, including Christopher Renstrom, Stormy Grace, Adam Summer. It's an incredible group of people. So we're really looking forward to that. And we'd love for you all to join us. Again, that's astrologyhub.com/2022forecast. And if you can't join us live, still register so we know to send you the limited time replay of that event. We'll be talking all things 2022, and we'll be having more discussion. So we'll be having more back and forth between the astrologers and more, more discussion about the astrology that's coming. So looking forward to it. Achyuta Bhava, thank you so much for being here. Really Thanks. Appreciate you. And our audience is appreciating you as well. I'm seeing tons of love coming in for you. So thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. Really excited for all of the good stuff in 2022 that we're all going to do together.
Fantastic. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for being a part of our community. Thank you, as always, for making astrology a part of your life. We'll catch you on the next episode. Hey there, it's Amanda here, the founder of Astrology Hub, and I'd like to invite you to join me and 12 top astrologers for our 6th annual free 2022 forecast panel event happening this December 8th and 9th. And with the USA's Pluto return, the nodal axis shift, the Jupiter-Neptune conjunction in Pisces, and some other really key transits happening next year, it would be ideal to get the astrological weather forecast early so you can be prepared for what's ahead. You'll hear expert astrological insights from astrologers like Achyuta Bhava, Adam Summer, Stormy Grace, Gary Caton, Michael Bryan, Christopher Renstrom, Jen Zard, and more. The event is free and will be taking place on December 8th and 9th, 2021. If you can't join us live or for the full event, make sure you register so we know to send you the limited time recordings. To reserve your spot, register today at astrologyhub.com/forecastpanel. We hope to see you there.